following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
So just to explain the format of the morning a little, you'll likely all have booklets on your table, so it's worth looking at the accessed one just in case you'd like to take any notes. And this will be relatively interactive, so at various points as I'm speaking, I'll ask you to just break into discussion groups with the people that you're with. So hopefully that means you won't get bored just listening to me talking all the time. And if there's time at the end, we can have space for questions and things afterwards. We'll see how we go. But thank you so much for having me this morning. And hopefully everyone's got a handout and things. Everyone happy? Brilliant. Wonderful. So can you relate to any of the following statements? They were being so annoying, I just snapped. This is the happiest I've been in ages. I was so worried, I couldn't sleep. I don't feel like going to church or home group this week, so I'll do something else. I know he's married, but I can't ignore how I feel about him. Speaking to people about Jesus feels so scary. I'd rather not do it. I don't feel any different when I read the Bible. There's no point. I'm sure God wants me to be happy. You can't help the way you feel. That person at church is emotionally draining. I'll avoid them next week. Watching or doing that helps me escape, to feel better, even though I know it's wrong. Feelings don't really matter. It's only truth that counts. Those are just a few examples of how emotions are a pretty big part of our day-to-day lives, as people generally, but also as Christians. When it comes to how we handle our emotions, though, we're likely to be more like one of these two extremes. So on this side, we have keep calm and carry on, some of you might be familiar with as a phrase. Sorry, these are a bit small. On this side, we have let it all out. So someone who is more on this side of the spectrum will cry easily, they'll laugh easily, but they can also lose their temper easily too. The person on this end is suspicious of their own emotions and other people's. They see displays of emotion as an unnecessary sign of weakness. I suppose whichever side we feel closer to, the statements that I read out at the beginning show us that we can't avoid our emotions or the emotions of other people. And we might be surprised to know that the Bible has a fair amount to say on the topic of emotions. First, we'll see that they're a window to our hearts. And this is where we have our first reading from Proverbs 4:23. So this verse from Proverbs teaches that our hearts, which are like our internal control centres, drive everything that we do, including our emotional reactions. We often explain our emotions by describing our circumstances. For example, I'm really annoyed because the train is late, or I'm really grumpy because I'm tired. I'm really happy because I got a promotion. But the Bible points to something much deeper than that. It shows that the emotions that we feel reflect what our hearts care about and what we're living for at a particular moment. This is why people can react very differently to exactly the same circumstances. For example, how we responded to the news of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour starting yesterday will very much depend on how much we value Taylor and her music. But there is a problem if our emotions reflect what we value. Because ever since the fall, back in Genesis 3, the Bible is clear that we valued the wrong things. Romans 1 verse 25 describes this. So rather than valuing God the most, as we should, this verse shows us that we've worshipped and served created things instead. This means that we naturally produce lots of emotions that reflect our love for ourselves and the things of this world rather than for God. We're now going to break into our discussion groups for 5 minutes. I'm going to time things to try and make it work. And you've just got a few moments to discuss what the Bible says about our emotions since the fall. So I'll let you do that for 5 minutes. The questions are all in your handouts. Brilliant. Let's come back together. I hope that you found that time discussing helpful. Sorry, I realise they weren't very cheerful verses, but hopefully it was helpful to you discuss them and to see the impact of the fall on our emotions. And it's worth saying that our sin twists both our positive and our negative emotions. So this means that we feel positive about things that we should feel sad about, like the failure of someone that we don't like. Or we feel positive towards things that God's word says is wrong, such as letting culture shape our view of identity and relationships. We also feel negative emotions towards things that God's word says we should feel glad about, like feeling jealous of that mum whose kids are always well behaved, or feeling like we aren't in the mood to spend time with the Lord or to meet with his people. The fall also means that there are things to be sad about. Before sin entered the world, there was no death, pain, sickness, or suffering in general. Hormones were all in balance, and human bodies and minds functioned as they were meant to. But it's pretty clear that this isn't the case anymore. Our bodies and minds don't always function the way that they're meant to. And there is a lot to feel sad about in the world. The Bible recognises this. It doesn't shy away from suffering or pretend that it isn't an issue. The book of Psalms records a huge range of human emotion, but there are nearly twice as many songs of lament as there are of praise or thanksgiving. The Bible expects that suffering will be a major part of the believer's experience. On your sheets, there's just a list of a few of the places in the Bible where suffering is seen. And here I'll just read the beginning of Psalm 13 as an example. For the director of music, a psalm of David. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? All of this means that the two approaches to emotions that we saw at the beginning, keep calm and carry on, or let it all out, both of them are to be avoided. If we're more naturally on this side, having heard about the impact of the fall on our emotions, we might think, right, I knew emotions were a bad idea, and keeping calm in all situations is the best plan. But it's helpful to realise that that idea isn't a Christian one. The amount of sadness and pain that we see in the Bible indicates that it's a right thing for our emotions to be affected by all that's wrong in the world. And on the flip side, we'll see that there is plenty for Christians to be really happy and joyful about too. But the let it all out approach isn't the right one either. The passages that we've looked at in our group so far show us that while our emotions might be strong, they're not always right. So we might feel really positive towards something that God's word says is wrong, like sleeping with someone we're not married to. Or we might feel really negative towards something that God's word says is good and right, such as forgiving someone who's really hurt us. And as we saw from the verses earlier, showing sinful emotions is likely to hurt those around us and damage relationships, especially our relationship with God. So, if we shouldn't ignore our emotions or be ruled by them, what does it look like to get our emotions right? Many think that being a mature Christian means looking like this. Calm, peaceful, and happy, and maybe a model as well. But Jesus is the one human whose emotions were always perfect. And he was not always calm, peaceful, and happy. So we're going to break into our groups again and look at Jesus, the man with perfect emotions. So there are two sections, Jesus, the man with perfect emotions, and how Jesus' right emotions always led to right action. So ideally, if you spend 5 minutes on each of those sections, and then I'll draw us back together. Cool, let's come back together now. I hope you found it helpful looking at Jesus and his emotions, and maybe you found some of the passages surprising. Hopefully you'll have seen as you looked at those different passages that Jesus not only felt emotions really strongly, but he expressed them too. Jesus felt deeply, and he expressed those emotions both to God and to other people. But Jesus' emotions always led to right action. Unlike us, Jesus didn't just feel sympathy for people, but then move on to do something else. Jesus' care always resulted in actively loving others. And also, we can assume that certain feelings like anger are always wrong for Christians. But Jesus shows us that it's a godly thing to be angry at injustice and evil, or to be distressed at unbelief. So Jesus didn't have a keep calm and carry on approach. But he didn't let it all out either, because Jesus' strong emotions never stopped him from obeying his Father. Could we have our Mark 14 reader, please? Thanks very much. So while Jesus felt emotions and expressed them, he wasn't ruled by them. At Gethsemane, he was more sorrowful than we could ever imagine. But he willingly went through what would bring him the most pain in order to obey his Father. We might be rude or snap at someone because we're feeling annoyed. Or we might hold off obeying God because we just don't feel like it. But Jesus' emotions never led him to sin, and they never stopped him from obeying his Father. Though having seen Jesus in action, it's tricky, isn't it? Because so often our emotions are not like his at all. Whichever side we're closer to, we often give in to emotions that we shouldn't, or that we don't feel the way that we should. But thankfully, as we saw from the Mark passage, Jesus died for us, knowing exactly what our emotional lives are like. He knew the reality of our jealousy, our anger, and our apathy. And he chose to die for us. His sorrow didn't stop him. And it's because of Jesus, his death and resurrection, that our emotions can change. I'll just read the passage from Titus 2 that's on your sheets. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. I'm going to take a risk and ask a question to the whole room. We'll see how it goes. But from this passage, how is it possible for us to say no to sinful emotions and grow in godly ones instead? Absolutely. And that's wonderful news that it's actually God's grace that changes us, isn't it? Just trying really hard won't move us from, you know, between these different spectrums. But God's grace will. The gospel makes all the difference. Regularly reminding ourselves that we have been redeemed by Jesus, that he is changing us by his Spirit. Remembering that he is coming back and we will see him face to face. Titus shows us here that we don't just need the gospel to become Christians, but to live the Christian life. And we need this, whichever personality type we are. But if we're more on this side, if we're more of a keep calm, carry on person, it's helpful to remember that when we hear sermons or read the Bible, God doesn't just want to grow our understanding. He also wants to change our emotions, to grow our love for him, our joy in serving him, and our hatred for emotions that displease him. If we're more this side, if we're more let it all out people, it's helpful to remember that hearing and understanding the gospel is partly to grow us in our self-control over our emotions, so that we don't just give in to whatever we're feeling, but we look to please God in what we do with our emotions. And the next few verses that we're going to discuss help us to see a few ways that we can use our emotions well as Christians. But we might be asking ourselves a question at this point. What do we do when our feelings just don't match up with how God's word says they should? And thankfully, as we saw in our Titus passage a few minutes ago, one of the reasons that Jesus redeemed us was to purify us. So he is on our side. This means we can actually talk to God about our emotions, both the good and the bad. And we can also ask for his help to be changed by him as well. So we're just going to think about that together in our groups by looking at a few of the Psalms, which cover a range of different emotions, both really joyful ones, but harder ones as well. And we're just going to think about how our own prayers could be shaped by these Psalms. So yeah, just get back in your groups again for 5 minutes. But we're just going to move on to the next section now, which emotional change isn't a solo project. And yeah, we have our next couple of readers. So we have our Hebrews 10 reader, and then they're directly followed by our 2 Corinthians reader. So yeah, when we're feeling really low or we're really struggling with our emotions, it can be very tempting to either withdraw from other Christians because interaction feels too hard, or because we're embarrassed about how we feel. But maybe actually if we're more on this side, if we're more of a keep calm, carry on person, we might just put on a brave face and pretend that everything is fine when really it isn't at all. But instead, the Bible expects that the Christian life is hard and that we will all need regular encouragement, whichever personality type we are. And the Corinthians verses that were just read show us that God uses other Christians as a way to give us his comfort, which is pretty cool, I think. And this means that it's important that we're not only honest with God about how we feel, just as we saw in the Psalms, but that we're honest with other Christians too. And that we keep going to church, even when it's the last thing we feel like doing. If the idea of talking about our emotions makes us want to leave the country, that is totally fine. We don't need to suddenly share with everyone in the room. But it's worth considering which godly friend or mature Christian we might be able to open up to. And whichever side we're on, we not only need encouragement ourselves, but God wants to use us to give others his encouragement. And the Lord has deliberately put people who are a bit like this and a bit like this at St. Michael's Fulwell. And this is because both personality types are needed, and both can become more like Christ together by learning how to love and encourage one another within the church family. Wonderfully, we're going to finish by thinking about how our emotions will finally be right. So I'll just read from Revelation 21, verse 3. Which says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.'" At the beginning of our time together, we saw that ever since the fall, there were bad emotions because of sin and sad emotions because of the suffering in the world. The New Testament is clear that we'll have to deal with both sin and sadness until we die or Jesus returns. But these Revelation verses give us something to look forward to, especially when our emotions are at their lowest. When God finally lives with us in the new creation, he will wipe all of our tears away. Sin will be gone, so all our emotions will be pleasing to him and beneficial to those around us. There will be nothing to be sad about anymore. And we will know a joy that is better and deeper than any joy we could ever know here. How wonderful is that for us to look forward to? Let's close in prayer Father God, thank you so much that there is a day coming where we will see you face to face, where you will wipe every tear away from our eyes. And we look forward to that day so much. And Father, in the meantime, we're so aware that we need your help to live this life. And thank you that you haven't left us on our own. Thank you that you've given us your Spirit and that Jesus redeemed us in order to purify us so we can be sure that every day you are changing us to make us more like him. And so we pray that you'd help us to keep going in the Christian life, to keep following you, both with our heads, hearts, our emotions, all of us. And we pray that you'd help each other that you'd help us to help each other to keep following you as well, so that we all enjoy being with you in the new creation where our emotions will finally be right forever. In Jesus' name, amen.